Hi, welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Lauren Goodall. I'm a clinical psychologist, and this is Psychology in Short. Today's topic is about resilience. Who gets it, how you get it, and how it's linked with tougher stuff, like adversity. So many times we think of resilience as something that is something we can do pretty easily. But it really isn't something you can do all that easily. What is resilience? We'll just call it an internal buffering. Okay? An internal ability to weather the storm. Okay? And as I said, there's a lot of people doing activities that's mentally visualize themselves in a resilient way, okay? And that's fine, okay? Working on your thought process is always a piece, okay? But I'm going to counter that with the idea is you don't learn how to be a great mathematician by visualizing the symbols, okay? You have to know how to work it. You have to know how to work the math problem. There's no great cheat sheet to resilience, okay? So what I'm saying in meeting with people who've battled all sorts of battles in life, I've met a lot of resilient people, crazy resilient people, okay? And they're not always the people you'd expect. Resilience is built on adversity, things we don't like, things that are tough to walk through. All right, so let me first start off talking about what is resilience versus a concept I call pseudo, okay, pseudo resilience. Pseudo is sort of a fake counterfeit, okay? We think we have something, but we don't totally have it, and we don't totally know that we don't have it until we don't have it, okay? But all along, we're led to believe that we have it, okay? There's no crime in that, but it is an error. Okay, and so I'll give you an example. We stand on the shoulders of previous generations. We stand on our parents, our grandparents' successes, and we also stand on our parents' and grandparents' failures. So in that way, we're picking up where other people left off. And whatever adversity was left in that equation gets handed down to us, right? And what we do with that and how we work it. What are some examples? Okay, having safety in your life. Okay, feeling safe where you live. Having finances. Being able to eat basic existential things and structural things that we need, having a good family, a good supportive system, an interpersonal network with community that you feel supported by. All of those pieces, as I said, access to education, access to finances, access to food, access to health. Okay, so assuming you have all of those things, okay, and they're all listed in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and it creates the base of psychological functioning, because any big holes in any of those pieces is going to create psychological distress. If you don't have enough food to eat, that's going to create a level of fear. On top of physiological problems of hunger, things like that. How you live, Okay, some of those deficits are going to determine how you live and how you move forward. But let's, for the sake of argument, say all of that is pretty well and good. You have enough of what you need, and you stand on shoulders that were pretty solid. Okay, so you're going to go, you take your vacations, you work, you're basically pretty high functioning, okay? So you have every reason to believe that you're pretty resilient, okay? Because you are. You have an internal buffering, and you have an external buffering. But it is a pseudo-resilience. It's a bit of a counterfeit because you don't have to start from a deficit model of any kind, okay? And like I said, it's not about just about finances. It could be about health. It could be about a disability you have. It could be about a lack of structural family support. You know, maybe you don't have a very cohesive family. Maybe there was divorces in the family and these people aren't talking, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So lack of structural support, that can create deficiencies. But the idea of resilience is working through these pieces of adversity in your life, okay? Pseudo-resilience is saying, I feel pretty internally buffered, but you really don't know until you get tested, okay? And there's different ways in life that you can get tested. You can come home one day and your partner wants a divorce. You've been married X amount of years. There's a custody battle. That's something that will challenge your resilience, okay? Because that's going to be a day-to-day chronic stressor. Resilience isn't based on a small item stressor, okay? Resilience is built on longer-term stress. And as I said, people who tend to be more resilient, they have been through different battles. And it could be an internal battle. It could be maybe you're dealing with some level of depression that doesn't quite remit. It doesn't quite go away. So frequently you have to go into battle to get your motivation on to do your job, to do your take care of your kids, or just be, quote, on for other people. And there's a lot of people who are highly resistant that way, that show up even when they don't feel like showing up. They go to their kids' game even if they feel like, you know, crawling on the floor. They don't feel good, but they're going anyway, and they make it happen, and they make it happen for a lot of other people. My hat's off to you. These people are resilient. But they're kind of the hidden resilient, okay? They don't put a badge out and say, I deal with chronic stress. They don't do that. They're not looking for attention. That's not their goal. Do they want probably a level of self-satisfaction? Yes. Do they want to feel like they've contributed to their kids' lives, to other people's lives? Yes, that might be what moves them forward. Resilience is a working activity through chronic stress. And I think, you know, there's this saying out there that I'm not a big fan of, and people kind of, they do it to make a point, you know, and I think a lot of times it's just said to make a point, you know, I was ugly crying. Okay, well, I've sat through a lot of ugly crying throughout my career. And let me tell you, these people had really good reasons to be crying. They've gone through tragedy after tragedy. Maybe they've lost everything they've owned in like a hurricane or tornado, or their family just got blown apart. People who cry aren't weak people, okay? Weakness isn't defined by crying. It's weakness is just a sign of saying, this is not my first rodeo. Okay? Many times they've been dealt what I call a bad hand of cards. Okay? Whether it's the genetic lottery, whether it's the biological lottery, whether it's family that comes apart, whether it's a lack of access to opportunity, educational access, things they want to do, things they want to create. As I said, some of the people that you may think aren't all that resilient are very much resilient, because these are the people that get called in and are called to carry. And they not only carry for themselves, they carry for other people. But they don't stand out. So you really don't know. Okay? Because as I say, they're not card-carrying members. But when you sit down with them, I have immense respect for what journeys people have to travel through to be who they want to be. And that can be, like I said, resilience is built from leveraging external pressure and internal pressure. And how you do it. And pushing yourself forward when you don't feel like it. Maybe your best friend died, okay? Maybe you have a few close friends, and that best friend, and you have gone through different storms in life. You were best friends because you knew what it was like to have some form of lack in your life. Lack in your life builds resistance and resilience. Adversity in your life builds resilience. So resilience is not a metaphor, okay? It's a doing thing. And it's a walking through spaces. And why do some people stand out to us more than others? Because they stood through the storm, the different storms of life. Because life isn't necessarily fair. And you don't necessarily get what you have coming. People say something bad happens. No, bad can happen to good people as well as not so good people. Okay, things happen. As I said, your house can be destroyed in a storm. Your best friend dies, your child dies, car accidents. You don't lose one kid, you lose two. All sorts of tragedies take place in this lifetime. On top of managing internal issues. Anxiety, coping with chronic anxiety. People who like to keep to themselves because they just don't want to be judged because they have anxiety, they have worry. Well, there's a lot of judgment to go around. I think we all have a certain amount of it in certain issues. I mean, it's sort of a natural human condition. But I would refrain, and I would encourage people to refrain, because you may inadvertently be somebody who's more pseudo-resilient than resilient, okay? Meaning life hasn't challenged you that much, and the key word may be yet, okay? It may be challenged by something you don't see coming, like I said, and a lot of times that's life. There's things that you cannot see coming. People die in tragic car accidents, plane accidents, you name it, and your life is changed, and your positioning is changed. But when you listen to people, there are people who've been very successful. But what's really amazing about their stories isn't some story of perfect, okay? It's nothing about perfect. They don't talk about perfect anything, okay? The people who are great speakers on this subject have lived through some level of adversity. Something that felt like it could just suck the air out of their lungs. A 6-year-old child who loses their mother. You know, things that go south. People get sick in different ways. People get addictions in different ways. learning how to deal with bullies by yourself, fighting your way through life. A lot of great people's stories have this piece. And I think it's because you have to go through these battles. I mean, in exercise, we've always heard that the only way you get stronger is breaking apart the muscle. And it has to be painful to do that in order for the muscle to grow, rebuild, and come back stronger, right? Well, as you face some level of adversity, you get stronger. And you're not only stronger for yourself, you're stronger for pulling other people up and out, okay? Because sometimes it's your words that you're going to say that are going to make a difference, okay? Why? Maybe because you knew something about what it's like to lose a mom at a young age, okay? Or not have enough of the right kind of clothes to fit in or what have you. But you've done that battle and you've walked that battle. And you're not looking for a badge of honor, okay? This is not about making a list of every adverse thing that's happened to you. That's not what resilience is about. A lot of the most resilient people, you won't hear them talk, okay? They don't complain. They just keep moving forward. And so that's the difference between resilience versus, say, attention seeking. Attention seeking might go down a list of blah, 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 blah. So buyer beware. That might be somebody who needs a lot of attention. Not saying that none of that happened to them, but there's a difference with somebody who's developed resilience. They're not necessarily looking for the kudos from you. They may acknowledge something. You know, when we think of people who go into the military and they're put through this thing called boot camp, and it does not sound lovely. I'm grateful I never had to go through it, okay? But it's set up to be adversarial. It's set up to have adversity built into it. Because that's nothing like what they're going to face out there. You have to have some level of working knowledge and participation with adversity for them to be able to help you through bigger missions, bigger requirements. So there is a logic and a sense through walking through adversity. Because adversity is the thing that's going to give you your template, your working template for what works and what doesn't work. Okay, that's the key to wisdom. You know, we all want to be successful, but it is nice to get the easy ride to success. But basically, when you look at people, as I said, who have been very successful, there is a big piece of adversity that's been built into their equation all the way through. Maybe something they had a battle, and that was part of making something successful. So when you think of resilience, you have to think about how you leverage chronic stress. I'm not talking about temporary stress. I'm talking about the stress that does not go away easily, okay? You could take the path of least resistance. Many have. In other words, you could passively let it suck on your life and bring you down. And there's days and there's moments and there's no judgment on that. Because what people have to live through sometimes is just incredible. But it's a matter of being willing to get back up and making small goals. And participating with somebody else to help you move forward. Being able to talk about some of the stuff that is just going circular in your thought process. Because if you experience enough trauma and enough difficulty, your thoughts can go circular on you, meaning they get repetitive. And sometimes you need somebody to introduce a different idea, a different concept. And that's why you got to reach out. So I have great respect for people who go through the crawling on the floor space because they don't know what next to do. And definitely great respect for the ugly crying face because they're not sure how they're going to cope with the loss of their partner or the loss of their best friend or some other tragedy that rummaged through their life. Because it's in those small spaces that we don't create metaphors. We create a way to walk through it. And as you walk through it, you just keep moving in small steps, not large steps. And hearing stories and being around people, and I've made a career of being around what I would call actually very resilient people. If you knew what they had to battle, you'd have a lot of respect for them, whether it's the chronic anxiety, the chronic depression, the bipolar, kind of some shifts that make it very uncomfortable for them, the lack of support in their life, things like that. So resilience isn't something that you imagine. Resilience is something you walk through. And the way you walk through it is through adversity. Adversity is what builds brave, okay? And life requires brave. There are moments, even in the most perfect life, that there's times that you need to be brave. And the only way you're going to get to be brave is to go through some hard spaces. Okay, painful spaces. And that's how you avoid a pseudo-resilience and actually develop an internal resilience that's more solid. All right. Well, I think I'm going to close up here. And I thank you for joining me. I like to bring up topics and try to take them from a different angle and a different approach. And just try to express things in a different manner, presented from what I see and what my years of working with people has taught me. So I'm very grateful for the people I've worked with and continue to work with, and I'm grateful for you, my listener. Thank you.